you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Biggs Day!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, big game coming up, buddy. This is it. This is the one. This is Carolina coming in, and here is your offensive breakout. You told us yesterday they like to allow points early. Bears are going to run it up and keep it going, and everything is happy in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good spot for the Bears. I really do. This Carolina team that has been much more fluid on offense since Andy Dalton replaced Bryce Young 2 games ago. But let's take a look at who they've played. That was games against the Las Vegas Raiders, which is still difficult for me to say, and the Cincinnati Bengals, 2 teams that are struggling on defense right now. So Dalton and the players around him on that Panthers offense have yet to encounter a defense, I think, to the caliber of where the Bears are at. And so I think that is a significant advantage for the Bears. I mean, I'm not slighting Andy Dalton or overlooking him. Like, if you took Andy Dalton's career statistics with the Bengals and dropped them in Chicago, they'd have a statue of him outside Soldier Field, but doesn't have a lot around him. They've got issues personnel-wise almost across the board. So I think it's a really good spot for the Bears defense, which has been rushing the passer really well. And it's not just one guy. You know, you can't single out one guy and say, well, you know, if they double team him, what's going to happen? There's a lot of chip help by opponents to Montez Sweat, but you're seeing production in terms of pass rush wins, quarterback hits, sacks across the board. Daryl Taylor, you're getting a much more consistent DeMarcus Walker, I think, than they got a year ago. Javon Dexter, of course. So they are they're playing well up front.
So you look at the Bears offense, as Shane Waldron addressed on Thursday, the need to get going early and to score some points, maybe even take a lead. What a concept. There's only one team in the league that has been more futile in the first quarter than the Bears. That's the Eagles, who have yet to score. Brad, what did you hear yesterday that should give people reason to believe the Bears will be better in the first quarter on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't put a ton into what I hear. I try to put more stock into what I see. And what Waldron said, I think, made more sense yesterday than some of the previous weeks when they'd been struggling and the answers were hard to discern. You got replies. You weren't sure what was in them. But, hey, they ran the ball effectively last week, and I think that is a needed step. And they've got to continue that this week against the Carolina Panthers. And then I would look at something he addressed yesterday, which made sense, but you got to see it before you believe it, is cleaning things up, right? They had too many self-inflicted errors in the first half of these games. That's been one of the issues, that they've been behind the chains. a false start penalty, a hold, whatever the case, they have kind of gotten in their own way a little bit here in the early going. And you look at this Panthers run defense, 29th in the league, allowing opponents nearly 149 yards a game, 23rd in yards per rush at almost 4.7. They haven't been good defending the pass. I know I told you guys earlier this week that in the next five games, the Bears face five of the six worst defenses, bottom six in the league in terms of yards per pass attempt. Carolina coming in at 27th in that metric. And the Panthers, don't have the hint of a pass rush. They're 31st defensively in sacks per pass attempt. I believe they've got five sacks on the season. So I just think you look at this from all the angles, and this should be a productive Sunday where the Bears can build on some of the things they did well last Sunday against the Rams.
You know, we were talking a little bit about this idea of the scripted plays. And, you know, again, we know that that this has been an ongoing practice for a very long time, leading back to Paul Brown when he kind of stepped back from being his own coordinator to just being the general manager and the head coach, et cetera. And he had Bill Walsh. They would meet for breakfast and talk over the plays they wanted to run to kind of open the game. And I've heard it described with the word probing. The idea is, so you're not reacting to what the defense is showing. You're trying to take plays that you have scripted that you plan on running, and you want to use a different formation, maybe some subtle thing that teams haven't seen on tape, and see how they respond. What will they do when we run this? So you're trying to score, but you're trying to set up touchdowns later in the game. That is the idea of scripted plays. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that process, Brad, and what it does and why it doesn't work sometimes for the Bears?
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff hasn't worked early again because of the self-inflicted stuff, but I agree with you where you are introducing, like you said, a lot of times maybe formations to see, okay, and personnel groupings, right?
Yes.
So you've got two tight ends and two wide receivers on the field. How are they going to defend us? Are they going to be in base, or are they going to be in nickel personnel? You go to, three wide. What are they going to do? How does it look? And you're throwing formations, personnel groupings out there to see how they react, because a lot of the stuff that you have in your playbook is designed to look similar, and then you come back with something that's got a wrinkle to it. You're running the same look, the same personnel, the same formation, completely different play, and you're trying to build off something you did earlier in the game. And Waldron said yesterday that, you know, he had obviously spent three seasons working under Pete Carroll with the Seahawks. And, you know, Pete Carroll said you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can win a game in the fourth quarter. And, you know, who am I to argue with Pete Carroll? That makes plenty of sense to me. But, the bottom line is they've got to start to be more efficient. They can't lean on scoring after the first 15 minutes. And I think this will balance out. Again, the schedule sets up pretty well for them here in the next month and a half or so. This is a good spot for them Sunday at Soldier Field.
Panthers can run the football. They have an offensive line that they have paid a lot of money for. I think the third in the league in terms of offensive line investment, Brad. Chuba Hubbard is a very good running back. The Bears have struggled against the run. Could that be one area that maybe gives the Panthers a little bit of hope? And is that the one area where the Bears have to focus on stopping the run before they can do anything else, like any given week?
Yeah, and that's something I don't think the Bears are concerned about the run defense right now, which is, you look at most of the statistics, they're kind of smack dab in the middle of the league, maybe just a touch below the midpoint in some of these key statistics. Here's how you kind of eliminate that problem. You get a lead and you hold it and you build on it and you force Andy Dalton and the Panthers throw the football. And I know some of the sack statistics for Carolina are probably skewed a little bit because of Bryce Young playing with an inexperienced quarterback, but I don't think the Panthers would feel like they're getting banged for their buck on the offensive line to this point. Sacks have been a problem for them. Pass protection has been a problem. Dalton will get the ball out quicker. He's going to know where his hots are. He's going to understand pressures. But if the Bears can continue to win with their front four, that's going to be a good spot for them. And Hubbard has been impressive thus far. Their rushing statistics aren't great, probably, again, because they've been chasing in a bunch of these games early this season where they've kind of had to ditch the running game a little bit. But, yeah, Chuba Hubbard is a guy that Eric Washington, the defensive quarterback or defensive coordinator, excuse me, talked about yesterday, was very complimentary to him as a runner. And I think the Bears know the task and assignment in stopping the run and putting Carolina in second and eight, third and six type situations, and then the defense goes to work.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
So we know that there was a complete, thus far, practice week for Keenan Allen. He wasn't on the injured list for really the first time, and he was able to practice all week. What does that mean come Sunday? Is he got a larger role? Will Rome Odunze be featured more? Might DJ Moore get off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully all that and more, right? I think the first place you start with is when you talk about Keenan Allen, is he's got to look better out there. Because talking to scouts that have watched the Bears, they can tell that there's something wrong with his wheels, that he's not moving like he has previously in his career. He looks a little hobbled out there. So that's the first situation, I think, is him not being on the injury report. Does that mean that he's closer to full speed, which is where they need him to be? They need him to be that guy that can get open in the middle of the field, especially on third down. They need him to be that comfortable connection for Caleb Williams that can help the Bears move the chains. And we've seen Caleb look his way. You know, he got 11 targets in the opener,
right,
against the Titans, and he wasn't on the field a ton. He was on the field for 38 snaps and he got 11 targets. Like, wrap your mind around that a little bit. 41 snaps for him last week. So he was at just under 70% of the playing time. You know, if they can keep that playing time for Keenan Allen in that 60 to 70% range, I think they're going to be fine as long as he's moving closer to full speed, right? You don't want to overdo it with them. You want to understand it's going to be a long season. And yeah, they've got to get DJ Moore the ball downfield. You know, they've seen a lot of too high looks and they haven't attacked that down the middle a whole lot just yet. And we'll have to see what the Panthers present on Sunday. But you would expect some growth and gains for the passing game in the weeks to come based on the opponents that are on the schedule.
One would hope, as much as we talked about the receivers in the offseason, one would hope they would have a downfield passing game eventually. Maybe it starts this weekend. Yeah. That's the idea. Keenan Allen, 60 to 70% of the snaps. I think I want him on there more than that, eventually, as he gets healthy, Brad.
Well, he's been hurt. Yeah. I mean, but he's been, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay.
Let's just, and they've got other guys, and they've got multiple tight ends. They've got running backs. So just have him out there. Make sure he's feeling good. And so he can give you some juice on third down, right? So he can give you some juice in the red zone. So he can be that guy that can shake open from tight coverage. So he can be the guy that finds the hole, finds the window for Caleb Williams in zone coverage.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. All right, Big Z, how does this game break it down for us? Give us your trip handicap of Sunday's contest.
Yeah, I just think the Bears have an advantage in most areas in this game. I think this sets up well for them. I respect Andy Dalton and what he's done throughout his career, and I certainly acknowledge the improvement Carolina's had offensively since he took over for Bryce Young. Like, maybe Dalton should have been starting from the jump based on a rocky preseason and training camp for Bryce Young. But you guys understand how those things go for highly drafted players. But the Bears, I think, are in a good spot defensively. The Bears are much healthier than Carolina. I mean, I looked at it the other day. The Panthers listed 19 guys on the injury report. It was like seven of them were a DNP, did not participate, and I think eight were limited. So for the issues that the Bears do have health-wise, they were in way better shape than the Rams were last week, much better shape than the Panthers are this week, with Carolina having some key guys already out for the season. The Bears have been, we haven't talked a ton about it, guys. I know we've talked about the punter, Torrey Taylor, who was fantastic last week. The Bears have been much better in every aspect on special teams this season. So I've got the Bears winning the game 27-13 on Sunday, guys.
That's a blowout. Yeah. That's a big blowout. So the passing game must be getting the juice from Keenan Allen if they're going to score 27 points and hold them to 13.
They don't need it all from Keenan Allen. You know, they got DJ, they got Rome, they got Cole Kmet. I'm sure one of these weeks here you're going to see Gerald Everett have 60, 70 yards receiving. He's a productive pass catching tight end that's in that complementary role to Cole. So they've just got a lot of options. They don't have to lean on one guy, but getting Keenan in a spot where he's healthy, and maybe that's why they took that second week off for him. You know, he missed two games and did not practice at all in those 2 weeks. Maybe that was with the idea of, okay, we're going to give this a little extra time, and we're going to hope and cross our fingers that you can put this behind you.
Brad, we'll let you go. Just curious, the offensive line is getting healthy now, right? I mean, I know that you still got the rib injury. Tevin Jenkins was limited, but it looks like he's going to play. I'm curious, when are they going to activate Ryan Bates? Do you think you said before maybe they wait till after the London game?
Yeah, I mean, Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bates isn't available to be activated until, if the soonest, next week.
Next week, right. But I'm saying
With a game in London and a bye week following that, I don't believe that makes sense. I don't believe that'll happen. I think they're probably targeting the week after the bye for him, if everything's in a good spot. And it might be, guys, similar thinking across the board with Larry Borum, another one of the offensive linemen, yes, and then defensive end Jacob Martin.
Yep.
We've barely talked about him.
He's available now,
injury,
right? Yeah.
Yes, but they haven't started his window. And if they weren't going to start it this week, again, why start that clock with a bye week coming up? Because you can't push pause on that clock once you've started it. So you would effectively lose an entire week of practice for him during the bye if you were to start him start his clock next week.
Good point, because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Hey, I'm just curious.
You're picking up here, Dave.
Yeah, he's learning. I'm just curious, Brad, and I know we got to go. I wonder if you brought Bates back after the London game, could you have him work center for 2 weeks and then maybe fit into that? Is it too much to think that he could play center before the year is out?
Oh, not at all. No, that would be my guess right now. That's just a guess. And they're going to have the guys out there are going to have opportunities to play and play better, hopefully, before he's in a spot. And it's going to take some practice time. Like, I don't see them starting the return window for Bates and 3-4 days later you see him in the lineup.
Right.
That seems unrealistic to me. But, yeah, I would think that center could be where we see him when he gets back on the field in game action.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.